Dads on the air, we're here cause we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. Dads on the Air brings you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on the topics of fatherhood and masculinity. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and with me in the studio today is Ken Thompson.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me back again.
It's great to have another dad on the air, and our special guest today is Karen Hodgkins, a filmmaker and creator of a powerful new documentary called Dad, Dad the Documentary. Karen has a career in the film and television industry going back to 1998, and for the last 3 years she has been successfully running her own business, Virtual Reality Media, which creates corporate content from pre to post. So Karen, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Bill.
Karen, congratulations on your film, which I found in turn informative, emotional, and in some cases even charming with some of the children that get a start on the program. You've been the producer, director, camera, editor. You've taken on all the roles. How did you get first involved in getting with this film?
I was just making corporate videos for a man called Ben, and he said to me, "Are you interested in documentaries?" And I said, "Yes." And he was sort of struggling to see his kids on a regular basis, and he was just really desperate to sort of do something different. He just wasn't really sure what to do, and so he scraped some money together and said, you know, can I pay you for your time and to sort of investigate? And it just snowballed from there. It was meant to be, I think. And I realised that the issue is just massive. It's worldwide and it's really a problem that needed to be uncovered. So as a documentary filmmaker, I struck gold, really. And so it's been an amazing last sort of 2 years, a year and a half. And instead of waiting around for funding or waiting around for someone to sort of help us out, I just scraped what money I had together and what Ben had, and I just grabbed my camera and my microphone and I just went and started shooting it. So,
you cover such a wide range of topics. I mean, there's family law, there's the child support agency, false allegations, orders, perjury. Did you set the topics, or did you just feel the need coming through from the people you interviewed?
Yeah, well, that's really interesting. I love essay films. I love films that are a cross-section of an issue, not just one part of an issue. So the CSA stuff sort of came up quite a lot. It was really interesting, and I think I've got a drama background. I've got a script background, so I sort of structured it in a way that took you through a journey of being a dad pretty much in 2014, 2015. The issues that come up once you've divorced, how hard it is to spend time with your children if, you know, your partner wants to make it difficult, and just really wanted to talk about the system but then didn't just want to talk about the family court because the CSA is obviously such a massive component as well. And then the stories that were presented to me and really just literally dropped into my lap were sort of about the family court and about CSA. So it sort of just joined together quite easily, which was good. But I think I probably could make two more films with the content that I've got. So we'll see.
Yes. So who do you aim the film at? Who's your target audience, do you think?
Well, it's interesting you should say, because I think that a lot of people are affected. I mean, a lot of older people are affected because it's happening to their son, perhaps, or perhaps they've been alienated from their grandchildren, right through to, you know, to teenagers and right through to kids that don't get to see their mum or dad. So I guess there is quite a wide audience. It's just not really a happy topic. So it's something that everybody might not be interested in seeing, but I think everybody probably should see it to see what's going on. In fact, and as I said before, it is a worldwide issue. I've had people from South Africa, France, Greece, India, like, you know, countries that you just wouldn't think, countries that have got religion and culture and all that sort of stuff as well, and they also seem to be suffering from, you know, alienation from their children, and it's just, it's crazy. It's just, yeah.
So
it's very eye-opening.
I noticed that you do have some females in the show, in particular Sharon, who seems to have the same problems with the CSA as the men.
Shannon was fantastic. I had to sort of beg her to be in the film because I really wanted to make people aware of the fact that the CSA doesn't work for either the mums or the dads, or probably does work more so for the mum. And she's a case where her kids decided to move with her, live with the father once they were teenagers, and the child support agency decided that she then had to pay. So it was a good, I quite like a bit of a twist in films as well, because I also think that it sort of keeps you awake and also represents the women as well. So, yeah, she's an advocate for fathers as well, because she can understand what they go through. So she's been amazing. She's been really great support. And it's also nice to actually chat to another woman instead of all these men, even though you guys are great, but it was really great to have a woman to help me along. So,
Who were the other people that you spoke to in the movie?
Well, the key person was a judge called Justice David Collier, who was probably the most exciting, other than himself, Bill. was very exciting to have on board. He had retired probably about a year or so before, 6 months before. And so he was really interesting to chat to, because he sort of gave me an insight on what the family court, what's going on in the family court, and how it's pretty much is, it's not even worth going to, really, because you get court orders and they're not even enforced. So he really was at the end of his tether, and I just caught him at the right time when he really wanted to speak out about how the system wasn't working. So that was a really good big turning point for me, and I just thought that having him in the film was really great. I've got a politician in there. I've got Bill, who is fantastic, who is my lawyer in the film. So just a real cross section of people. Bettina Arndt, who's a fantastic advocate for dads. And Phil York from Dads in Distress, who was just he was my little leprechaun angel as sort of went through the film. He really advised me on, you know, the on the ground stuff that's happening with dads, and how he looks after men that are just really on the edge, of survival pretty much. So that was really eye-opening to go to their meetings and all that sort of thing. So, a real cross-section. I was really lucky with who was presented to me. So
yes, I should make a small disclosure here that I had a minor part in the film, and I'm still waiting for the royalty check. But so with all these people speaking, I noticed you mentioned Phil York, and he's a frontline worker, and yet you could see he's affected by it. He had tears in his eyes at some stages in talking about some of the travails of the fathers.
Yeah, he was definitely. I had to interview him very quickly because it was just before a meeting, and he spoke about Tom, who's also in the film. And I dug and dug to make sure I could find Tom, because he was, CSA thought that he owed them over $30,000, and it's completely ruined his life. And Phil was very emotional when he was talking about this one case that he just couldn't put his finger on where they'd got this figure from. So I knew that I had to follow that through, that story. His whole life was looking after these men. He had he's got his own family, he's got his own wife and all that sort of thing, and you know, kids that he's got to deal with as well. But he spent, you know, more than three quarters of his life looking after men, which is just amazing. And unfortunately, Dads in Distress, it looks like their funding may be in strife. So, any kind of support that we can give them would be much appreciated, I'm sure. So definitely need people like that and advocate groups like that out there for dads. There seems to be so many for women. You know, men really need to sort of bind together, I guess, and keep each other going. So.
Yes, look, that's perhaps a topic we'll explore in a minute. We're speaking with Karen Hodgkins, a filmmaker and creator of a powerful new documentary called Dad. So we might take a short musical break and we'll be back in a moment with Karen. And welcome back to Dads on the Air, where we're speaking with Karen Hodgkins. We've just been listening to a Fleetwood Mac song called Go Your Own Way, which is unfortunately what leads to some of the problems we're talking about, involving problems in the family court, child support agency, and all the assorted problems that that go with it. So, Karen, you just mentioned, I mean, one of the services that tries to help is Dads in Distress. Can you tell us a little bit about Dads in Distress?
Yeah, I mean, I know that they receive a lot of calls every day, and I know that they run meetings quite regularly, and quite a few dads from the meetings said to me that the meetings actually keep them alive and keep them going, and to know that they've got a friend, you know, they've got a person that is going through a similar situation to them. And the fact that their funding could possibly be in jeopardy is something that, you know, we really need to step up and help them and make sure that doesn't happen, because a lot of men will suffer if they have to close their doors. And so if we can somehow help them, that'd be really great. I've also spent a lot of time with On the Line as well, who support men. They've done some fantastic work as well, but there doesn't seem to be, as I said before, there doesn't seem to be as many as women. I guess men need to take a leaf out of their book in some ways and just talk some more and just, you know, bind together to change these laws, and we really just need to step up. And I'm really hoping that this film will give, you know, you guys the hand grenade that you need, you know, to change these crazy laws and these, it's just insane. The laws, the family court laws and the CSA laws that just don't work for anybody. So it needs to be some change. So,
Bill, I met Karen in the early stages of making the film, and it's really it's great to see that the film has now been completed. I've had a quick look at parts of it. It's a really powerful documentary, and it resonates with a lot of us, and I'm sure it will resonate with a lot of people in the community. And some places it really brought tears to my eyes. So it's a great documentary. I was really interested in what you were saying about Justice Collier's comments. He really, to me, described a system that's in crisis. But for most of us, there's three main issues that really come out through the legal system, and that's the issue of false allegations, the abuse of apprehended violence orders, and the non-compliance with court orders, which were issues that Justice Collier talked about. Did you find that as a fairly common theme when you were interviewing parents for the documentary?
The false allegations thing is a huge eye-opener for me. I grew up in an area in Melbourne that it was like the Truman Show. I mean, everyone was really friendly and all that sort of stuff. And the fact that people can go into court and just lie, you know, and lie about just really awful things that are just not true. and the children are obviously stuck in the middle. I just actually couldn't believe it. Nearly every man I spoke to had been falsely accused of something. Everything from rape to just the most awful things. And I just think it's such a waste of money, and it's putting children through a system that's not kind, and it's confusing, so confusing for the children. And I've also spoken to older people who, you know, went through situations when they were younger because of their mum or their dad, and you know, the repercussions of their relationships now with people, and it's just really damaging. And I don't understand why we would have a system that would allow that to happen. It was really it's really crazy. And the fact that it's not just Australia, like Canada's so bad, and the UK and America, and you know, I've got 700,000 false allegations were made in the US in 2012. They've got that report. It's happening in Spain. It's happening in so many different places. It's like,
well, I mean, that probably is a really good segue for me into the next part of the question.
Oh, yeah.
Because Justice Collier talks a little bit about, and he's quite passionate about it, about the issue of domestic violence towards men. And it's a real sleeper issue. No one seems to want to talk about it. Men don't want to talk about it because it seems to make them feel weak. Women don't want to talk about it, and I think there's some pretty obvious reasons why they don't want to talk about it. And then we end up with the authorities who really don't know what to do about it. I think in all the cases that you've highlighted, there's clear evidence there of domestic violence towards men, and it's really good to see that in your documentary you're bringing that issue to the fore.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could have gone further with that. Greg Andreessen, I interviewed him from Men's Health Australia, and he was really fantastic, and I really could have gone down that path, but I had to make sure that it was about, you know, about kids having dads in their lives and all that sort of thing. The domestic violence thing was another massive eye-opener. And I think it's the mental abuse from women that men really suffer from. I've got a lot of guy friends that do have partners that are strong. They're strong women. They put them down in public. Just little things that kind of really break them down. And that was the first thing. One of the first things Ben told me about was how his ex-wife used to publicly sort of, you know, just make him feel really small. Mm. And, you know, telling me he didn't earn enough money and just was really abusive in that way. Mm. And would get drunk and all that sort of thing, just out of frustration. you know, and then obviously you've got postnatal depression and all that sort of thing, which is awful. But I think it's a different, it seems to be a different type of abuse, I guess, towards men. And then obviously, as you said, you know, men aren't going to say, oh, she's pushing me around or she's hurting me. But I noticed that the New South Wales Police have posted on Facebook recently a report which shows that, you know, at least one in five of the cases are abuse against men, which is huge. And yeah. I mean, I think I know it's probably it's more than that.
Maybe that's the topic. Yeah. Maybe that's the topic for your next documentary.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go down that path, but I think my PR lady is representing Rosie Batty at the moment, so we're going to discuss whether or not we can sort of discuss the domestic violence sort of further and speak a little bit for the men as the inquiry is going into the Parliament, the family violence inquiry. So hopefully that'll give the men a bit more of a voice, because I'm sure there's a lot of men out there that are, just live with it. They just live with it. They just put up with it because, you know, they're a man or they're trying to be a man. And that's the Aussie way, isn't it? You'll be right, mate, you know, have another beer, or, you know, don't worry, it'll blow over, or it's just hormones or something like that. So
now, Karen, I understand there's a group in Parliament called the Friends of Family Law Act Reform, or some group that you've had some involvement with.
Yeah, that's really exciting, actually. We can talk about positive, exciting stuff now. So I've been approached by an independent senator to have a parliamentary screening, which is so exciting. And if that happens, that would be really great. And so I was approached. He found out through George Christensen, who's in the film, that I've made the film. And so he would like to invite more members into this Friends group. They already have about 12 senators, I think. So he would like to show the film and sort of to encourage more people to join the group. So that'd be really fantastic, in the hope of then having an inquiry into the family court. So that's what I'm sort of hoping I can work towards. If anyone has any ideas or any links to anybody that they want to, you know, please contact Bill or myself or through the Facebook page or through the website. So we can all sort of band together, and we've already got obviously this Friends group. So if we can build from that, that'd be really great.
Yes, so can you tell us what the website is that they should go to, Karen?
Well, my website's actually, I haven't been able to spend much time on the website, but the Facebook page is going really well. So that's just, if you type in Dad Documentary, the Facebook page will come up. That's got the link to the website. It's got, you know, you can contact me directly through that. And obviously Bill's got all of my details as well. So if you've got any ideas on how we can sort of strengthen that case with the family court, that would be really fantastic. And as a filmmaker, if I can help change laws, that's a lot more exciting than winning an award at a festival. So
that's the spirit.
Know,
that's the
I'd
spirit.
Like to work towards.
So you can go to Karen's Facebook page or contact us at any time on dadsontheair.com.au. So, Karen, we always ask our guests to pick a song and tell us why they picked it. Which one have you gone for?
I chose Stevie Wonder's Superstition. I love that song. Always makes me dance. But ironically, the lyrics are, you know, the opposite of how the song makes you feel. And he says things like, you know, but you believe in things that you don't understand. And I think that's got a lot to do with the film. It's an eye-opener for a lot of people, of issues that people don't understand. And so that song just came to mind.
There is
very much for being on the program.
Thank you. It was great.
We'd love to hear from any of our listeners. So remember our website, dadsontheair.com.au. Send us an email and tell us where you heard the show and we'll be in touch. And if you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au. So we'd like to say a special thank you to Karen Hodgkins for being on the program today and wish her all the best of luck with her new documentary, Dad. And so from Ken and me...
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Until next time.
We'll see you next week.